I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
And now third and goal. Huntley checks it short. Jonnu Smith through the five and into the end zone for the touchdown. He picked through all kinds of traffic and found six at the end.
Talk some Steelers here. Jonnu Smith coming up a little bit yesterday. Good morning. It's a beautiful day. It's a Friday, getting you ready for the weekend. Does it feel like a Friday? No, right? Because of Memorial Day? Does it feel like a Thursday?
I think it doesn't feel like a Friday because the weather just hasn't been the best. And I, you know, this time of year, weekends, like, let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's getting a little better, but it's going to be cool this weekend. And then finally, Joe, I think we're dry and warm.
Listen, for what we've had, and I know I'm not the one to talk because I was in Fort Lauderdale for a week, but the last couple of days have been tough. 65 and sunny, I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that and run, which I believe is what we got for most of today. Yeah. To the Western Hotline, Joe DiBiase, Sal Capaccio, Jeremy White is off today. Christopher Carter, Locked On Steelers, joins us now on the Western Hotline. Thanks, Christopher, for jumping on. Hope you're having a good start to your weekend or in the next couple hours.
I'm doing all right. Still got a few more things to knock out before I get to my weekend, but it's looking good to start.
Well, thanks for taking some time out for us today. There's a lot of stuff I feel like to get to on the Steelers. It kind of feels like, I know this is mostly true here, other than figuring out a James Cook contract, if that even is to happen, that most teams, like the offseason is kind of over. But I don't know, for you, does it feel like the Steelers offseason still has a long way to go with the trade stuff and there's a little bit of TJ Watt drama, the Rodgers wait, like maybe their offseason still has a long way to go?
I mean, there are several things that they want to knock out. Like, you know, they want to see Aaron Rodgers come in. I personally, I've said this on Locked On Steelers. I've said this on for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I think there's some handshaking agreement between the Steelers organization and Aaron Rodgers that they know what date he's going to come in. They're not going to say it publicly. He's not going to say it publicly, but it's going to happen. I think it's just they're just not publicizing it. They're going to get through OTAs, and he might show up for mini camp. Mike Tomlin said, look, the biggest thing that we're worried about is training camp, so that'll be that situation. The TJ Watt situation, I just talked to, you know, fellow edge rusher Alex Highsmith, his partner, and just yesterday, and he was telling me, like, we're very confident that he's going to sign. I don't think that that's as big of a deal as it made out to be. Now, the big thing is that the Steelers are very active in exploring the trade market of what it could take to get another playmaker in their offense, because they traded away George Pickens, partially because I think they thought he didn't really fit the long-term plan, just because they weren't able to get him to be the kind of player they want in their locker room. And that's why they went and got DK Metcalf, and now they're looking for another talent there. And so they might get a tight end like Jonnu Smith, who has serious ties to Arthur Smith, their offensive coordinator. They've made calls about Chris Olave with the Saints. And I'm pretty sure they've made several calls with other players that they see, you know, on their on a contract that's winding down with their team, and the other team might not want to pay them. And they're like, hey, let's explore what would it take to bring that guy in. But I think the big thing is that whatever move the Steelers are making for this year, their priority right now is making sure that they have the ammunition to trade up in next year's draft to go get one of the quarterbacks that they see in the draft next year. They really like that class a lot better than this year's class of quarterbacks, and they want to be ready to take one of those guys, and that's why they have 12 draft picks set up for them going into next season.
Well, I know Cam Hayward may say that about T.J. Watt. What does the organization feel about that? I mean, he's, what, 31? And you see the contracts being handed out to some of these premier pass rushers, Chris. Like, how does that look from a Steelers side? Is it just like, oh, yeah, we'll give him what he wants? I mean, where do you see this going?
I think that they give him the contract that he wants. I mean, look, here's the thing that people need to understand. $40 million, like how Myles Garrett got from the Browns, is not $40 million like it used to be. You know, about 5 years ago, $40 million would have been, you know, I think like 18 or 20% of your salary cap. That's a lot. But $40 million right now is not even 15% of your salary cap. It's very much the rate that you were paying edge rushers even 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett got their last super contracts. But in fact, when T.J. Watt got his last contract and it averaged about like $28 million a year back in 2021, that was a larger chunk of the salary cap back then than the $40 million a year is now, because of how quickly salary cap has risen in the NFL because of that extra 17th game that they play. So for the Steelers, they're like, look, T.J. Watt's a Steeler lifer. They're willing to pay him. Yeah, he's 31, but he's still an All-Pro player. He's still a guy that's a game wrecker, and they want to keep that guy around. You know, a lot of people said, hey, why would they pay Cam Hayward last year? Cam Hayward was 35 going into last season. He's 36 this year. They signed him, and I told people last year they're going to extend Cam Hayward. They're like, why would you do that? He's 35 years old. Then he's first-team All-Pro defensive tackle. They believe in these guys because they've shown time and time again they're that caliber of player. They're going to keep believing in T.J. Watt. I believe by the time training camp rolls around, they'll have a deal in place. This will be a forgotten thing, and we'll all be talking about something else.
Yeah. Watt, last year, by the way, so he didn't have, he went the final four games without a sack or whatever. And, you know, it's funny, I'm going to call this a down year, but that's by T.J. Watt standards. I mean, 11.5 sacks is more sacks than I think any Bills had with Sean McDermott as the head coach. But was last year just being a little bit of a decline more because of health than anything?
No, not even health. He did have like a peck injury, but I think the biggest thing was they realized that teams had committed even more to stop T.J. Watt than before. Like, they'd always double-teamed and chipped him, but it was to the point where teams were committing three blockers to him at a time, and their entire offenses were schemed around, hey, we're going to use the option to kind of try to limit what he can do in the run game, and we're also going to use quick passes specifically so that we can't give him 3 or 4 seconds to get to our quarterback. And that did a good job of limiting T.J. Watt. But one thing the Steelers did a little bit last year that I talked to Alex Highsmith about yesterday that they're planning to do a lot more of this year is flipping the size of T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith. For the several years they've been together, they have been on the same side. T.J. Watt lines up over the right tackle. Alex Highsmith lines up over the left tackle. And that was just how they worked. And they had their chemistry. And it was fine. T.J. Watt was, you know, tying Michael Strahan's sack record. But over time, teams have gotten used to it, and it makes it kind of easy. Okay, that's, you know, on this side, this is where we're going to play in all our mix. This is where we're playing all of our chips, our doubles, our plans to slow T.J. Watt down. But there were like 2 or 3 games last year where they experimented just a little bit with moving T.J. Watt, even just like 4 or 5 times in the game. And in those games, that little switching around just 4 or 5 times confused offensive lines. And they were like, wait, he's not on the right side. What are we doing? And so that's something that Alex Highsmith told me yesterday, that they absolutely are planning to be a bigger part of the defense this year, is moving them around, making it harder to predict where T.J. Watt is, because when you do that, then teams are in a more of a guessing game, and it's going to free him up for more opportunities. And T.J. Watt said he was open to doing that when we talked to him at the end of last season. So I think that's the bigger reason why he kind of finished a little bit slower, because also the Steelers were going up against really, really, really good teams in those last 4 games. They had a stretch of 11 days. In 11 days, they played the Ravens on the road, the Eagles on the road, and the Chiefs on Christmas Day on a Wednesday after being on the road back-to-back weeks against playing Super Bowl favorites. And that was kind of where that wear and tear really happened down the end of the season, too. And those are teams also that were building lead against them because they all had, you know, either Super Bowl, you know, offenses or MVP caliber quarterbacks. And they were getting up so they didn't have to stand back in the pocket and hold the ball and take deep shots. So I think a lot of that was very circumstantial. And I think when TJ Watt gets, you know, 15, 16, 18 sacks this year, everyone's going to be like, oh, okay, that, yeah, he's still that guy.
Chris, I apologize. I know you said Alex Highsmith earlier, and I said Cam Hayward. I know Alex Highsmith's who you talked to.
You're fine.
When you when you say that they are eyeing next year's quarterback class, that's great, and they have all these draft picks, and you know we saw the Bills kind of move around the board. But draft picks can only get you so far. Like, if they're going to bring in Aaron Rodgers and they expect to have a better season, you also could be picking a little bit lower, right? So how does all that mesh? Is it just, hey, like, would they want to get as high as possible? You're not going to get the top quarterback, you know, necessarily unless you have – teams aren't going to drop down into the 20s necessarily who are picking up at the top, if that makes sense. So how do you kind of – how do you navigate that if they want to bring Aaron Rodgers and be as good as they can and make the playoffs, but still eye next year's quarterback class?
I mean, you can still trade up into the top 10. It's not unforeseeable. I mean, I tell people all the time, like, where the Chiefs finished the year before they drafted Patrick Mahomes? They were the second seed in the AFC. Like, they hosted a playoff game and got a bye week that year. It was just a matter of, they were willing to trade a first, a second, and a third, and I think they traded an extra first for the next year to move up. And I think the Steelers are really, really open to that if they see the guy that they want in this quarterback draft class. I told people all throughout this draft class, everyone was saying, oh, Shador Sanders. I kept telling people, Shador is a smokescreen. They do not want him. You will see that on draft day. And not only did they not pick him in the first round, they didn't pick him in the third round, fourth round, or fifth round. So, I looked at that. That was pretty obvious from the things that I had heard inside the organization. But now, from what I have heard, they do like this quarterback draft class. Now, I don't think they're going to try to trade up and get the first overall pick, but I think they look at it as, look, there are at least five, maybe six guys that could be available in this draft class that they think could be first-round quarterbacks. I really like, personally, Lenore Sellers. I don't know who they prefer right now of this draft class, but like Garrett Nussmeier out of LSU. You know, a lot of people point to Drew Aller. He's not my favorite, but I think there's going to be an assortment of quarterbacks. And when there's an assortment of quarterbacks, kind of like when they got Ben Roethlisberger, you know, there was Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning, somebody's going to have to fall because not all the quarterbacks are going to get taken right away. There's going to be edge rushers. There's going to be, you know, wide receivers. There's going to be really talented corners. There's going to be talented players at different positions that get picked. And so eventually I think what they're going to do is they're going to win however many games they win this year. Maybe they'll go 10-7 again. Maybe they'll win a playoff game. You know, maybe they'll do that, and they'll be picking like 23rd. They'll be willing to move up 13, 14, 15 spots to get inside the top 10 to get maybe that third quarterback that everyone's looking at. Because remember, the first quarterback is very rarely the best quarterback of the draft class, right? Like, you know, Ryan Leaf got taken, you know, in Peyton Manning. And like, I think there's times where where people get mixed up about that. The Steelers, they have their guy, they have their plan. I don't think it will be that hard for them to move on. And in fact, I think that what they're planning on is because they have 12 draft picks, they have a first, a second, 3/3, 2/4, 2/5. They're going to be willing to move on that first, that second, and maybe even two of those thirds, and then maybe even throw in an extra pick from 2026 in there. I guess 2027 would be the pick because we're talking about the 2026 draft now. Mm. But they'd be able to throw a next year pick into that, and that would be part of their package to move up. And then with all the extra picks that they've assembled, they could still make all those trades up to get the quarterback and then still have a class behind that quarterback with maybe 1 third-round pick, 2 fourth-round picks, 2 fifth-round picks to say, hey, not only did we go get the quarterback we want for the future, but we assembled an entire class to keep up our youth movement that we got going on right now.
And then
they're also hosting the draft, by the way, next year.
Also hosting
the draft.
Yeah. And trust me, I know I've told all my friends, I was like, set up your house to be an Airbnb and get the heck out of Dodge, because it's going to be – Pittsburgh is a – we are a small big city or a big small city. We are not a metropolis, and it is going to get packed in here really quickly.
Yeah. I'm sure they would love that moment, too, if they get a quarterback in front of their fans in Pittsburgh next year with picks. If they do sign Rodgers, and I think there's – obviously, as you said earlier, like that's the expectation, how likely is it that they could – not only make the playoffs, but like you threw in there, like win a playoff game is something they haven't done in almost a decade. Like, how good would Rodgers have to be for what's around them, the coaching staff being what it is. I guess how much of a lift would that be with for Rodgers to take that team to do something they haven't done in a while?
I don't think Rodgers has to be a leader or anything like that. I just think he has to be solid. You know, last year, the Steelers' offense went from being ranked like 28th. They were regularly in the bottom five of the NFL during the years of Matt Canada. They jumped up to 16th in scoring last year, and I think that was a solid jump. It wasn't a great jump or anything, but it was a solid jump to say, like, okay, they're taking steps in the right direction. But a big part of what they were hoping would happen last year was the offensive line would come to fruition. That didn't happen because Troy Faltama, their first-round pick, he got injured early. Broderick Jones suffered an arm injury that kind of made him slow down his production. Then James Daniels, who was their best offensive lineman last season, got hurt and missed the entire season. So they had two key starters miss out early. They're hoping this offensive line that they've invested a lot into is going to be a difference maker this time around to get the run game going. They're very confident in that group doing that, and I think that's where you're going to see a different kind of Steelers offense, is the run game's actually going to be effective, and not by volume. Like last year, they finished 11th in total yards, but they finished 25th in yards per attempt because they were just a team that ran the ball a lot. Now they want to run the ball a lot and efficiently. And when you do that, now Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be asked to throw, you know, 40 times a game. You're asking, hey, Aaron, throw around 30 times a game, maybe 25 times a game. We'll have, you know, keyed up spots where you'll make big throws to certain guys, and that'll be the offense that I think that they want to move forward with this season. And if they do that, I do think they can be a team that they won't win the division. The AFC North is too tough. I think Baltimore's still a Super Bowl favorite, in my opinion. But I could see them finishing second again and getting into the playoffs. And if they can get a favorable matchup, like let's say they face the Texans in the first round of the playoffs, I think that's a team they could beat. Now, going on the road to play the Chiefs, to play the Bills, to play the Ravens, those are all tough orders when you don't have, you know, the quarterback that's the super difference maker, right? But I think against these other teams that are still finding their own way right now, I think the Steelers absolutely could contend with one of them in the playoffs.
All right, so what if it doesn't happen with Rodgers? And we can sit here and I don't disagree with you. I think that it's probably going to happen at the end of the day, but there's a scenario where it doesn't. Aaron Rodgers says, hey, I don't want to play, I'm retiring, whatever. What does that look like for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Sure. I mean, he's Aaron Rodgers. He can be very unpredictable. So there's always that chance. I think one thing, the Steelers, they're a lot more confident in Mason Rudolph being a pinch quarterback than other people are. And they say this because, you know, I was just on 93.7 The Fan here in Pittsburgh. I think Mason Rudolph has had one of the more interesting careers when you talk about a guy that came in as a backup to a franchise guy like Ben Roethlisberger. When he finally got to be the starter for a year when Ben Roethlisberger got hurt, he got destroyed by Earl Thomas, literally got like hit so hard they had to take his face mask off because they were so concerned about a neck injury. Then when he recovered, he got assaulted by Myles Garrett with a helmet, and then Myles Garrett accused him of using a slur against him. And then about a week later, he got benched for an undrafted free agent rookie duck caller. And then when he finally got his job back, he got his collarbone broken. In 2019, that was one of the worst years I've seen any quarterback go through. But Mason Rudolph stuck with it. He came back, fought his way through it. In 2023, when he got his chance to shine again, he won three straight games for them to get to the playoffs, and he was humble the entire step of the way. This organization, this locker room, they believe in him as saying, hey, we think that you're a guy that could be in the trenches with us. And so I think what will happen is if Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up, Mason Rudolph will be the presumed guy. They'll sign like a Carson Wentz, another veteran, just to kind of hold the place. And they'll be like, look, our plan is to run the football this year anyway. Mason, we're not asking you to do a whole lot. Just get in here, make the throws when we tell you to. When we say, hey, DK Metcalf's getting a one-on-one, launch it down the field so we can win that one-on-one. But their plan this year was not to have a supreme quarterback plan. So I think that if Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up, they'll settle for Mason Rudolph. And, look, that'll be a thing to overcome. They've overcome it before, like I said, when they won three straight games to get to the playoffs. I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to show up. But if Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up, I don't think they're going after Kirk Cousins. I think they'll stick with Mason Rudolph and sign like a free agent quarterback who they hope doesn't have to play because Mason will be healthy.
Yeah, Cousins looked shot last year to me, like the noodle arm, and he couldn't move. So I wouldn't, if I were them, I wouldn't want to do that if Rodgers didn't show up. Last thing for you, Christopher, the report yesterday about Jonnu Smith, and also on top of that, just the Steelers have talked with multiple teams about an offensive playmaker. So between Smith and just the overall concept of adding another piece to the offense, Does that just kind of make sense to you for what the Steelers currently have on the roster?
I think adding an overall piece would make sense. I don't think Johnny Smith would be the answer. I think the Steelers have a pretty good tight end situation. I think Pat Freiermuth's been pretty good. I think Darnell Washington's a really good tight end number two. And they have a lot of guys that can be that tight end three fullback type of role. I guess Johnny Smith makes sense because Arthur Smith loves him, and Arthur Smith had him in Tennessee. He had him in Atlanta, so he might want him in Pittsburgh. But to me, I think the Steelers' biggest need right now is a wide receiver too. Now the question will be, do you want to spend the investment to get a long-time wide receiver too, or do you want to get a guy that's just here for a short time and a fun time? And so if you're doing that, you're not spending a big trade to get him. Like, you're probably trading a sixth or a seventh, like a Romeo Dubs out of Green Bay. He'd be on a one-year deal. He's a younger guy, but he's not a game-changer, you know. Or they sign, like, Amari Cooper or Keenan Allen or one of those guys that are still floating out there in free agency. But they could also say, you know what? We think that if Terry McLaurin doesn't work out with the Commanders, I think that they are going to sign him. I think that the whole that's a battle that will resolve itself probably around training camp time. But if for say Terry McLaurin becomes available, that's a guy I think that they should move some serious picks for, because I think that he's a game changer. And him with DK Metcalf would be a great tandem to have, not just for Rodgers, but for that future rookie quarterback that they want to draft. So I think the Steelers right now, what you're seeing them do is they are surveying the field. Omar Khan's doing what he does. He's making his rounds. He's saying, "Hey, let's see where let's see where this is. Let's see where this guy is. Let's see what it takes again." They also called out Chris Olave with the Saints. So they've put out their feelers to say, like, what are the prices? What are the price tags of making these moves? And then what they're going to do is they're going to wait until training camp or so, or at some point when somebody's going to reach a boiling point. There's going to be some playmaker on an offense somewhere that wants a new contract that isn't working out, or a team is like, we got to move on from this guy. And then that's when they'll be like, okay, now we'll take this guy off your hands, but not for this a heavier price tag, because we've done our research as far as who costs what in the NFL to trade for. I think that's what they're setting up to do, but they're waiting for the right time to do it, and they're not pressed to do it until, you know, maybe when training camp time rolls around.
Christopher Carter.
I got one more, actually, if I can, real quick. Larry Ogunjobi. Bill signed Larry Ogunjobi. He is suspended for 6 games, obviously, but just his time in Pittsburgh, and, you know, what does he bring to the Buffalo Bills?
He's a solid player. Larry is he's physical when he needs to be. I think one thing that'll be interesting is he had some injury concerns in Pittsburgh. There'd be plenty of times where you know, he had, like, you know, knee injuries or leg injuries that he was trying to work his way through. And I think he wasn't able to get clear of those. It seemed like even when he was healthy enough to play, he was often dealing with something. And so Larry Ogunjobi was solid. I don't think he's a game changer, but he's a good guy to have in your defensive line rotation if you want a solid veteran who's going to not get blown up at the line of scrimmage and hold down the fort there. So for Buffalo, when you do get him back, I think what you're going to do is you're going to have a guy that, you know, he's not going to change the line of scrimmage too much, but you can put him in the middle of your defense as part of that secondary rotation of defensive linemen and say, hey, the standard's not going to be lowered at defensive line because he's going to be a good defensive lineman in the middle, just not a guy that I would expect to be the person that wrecks the game for you at any point.
Christopher Carter on the Western Hotline. You can check out his stuff at Carter Critiques on Twitter, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and Locked On Steelers, of course, a good listen as well. Thanks as always, Christopher, and enjoy the weekend.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they'll sign Keenan Allen, by the way. I think that'll be their move. Just seems like they don't have a slot receiver, and that's what he does at this point in his career. So I think that fits, but we'll see if they want to pay the money for it. 803-0550, the phone number. Weekend's coming. I've got a Sabre question for Sal when we come back, as there's going to be some free agency stuff in the next month, a Marner hunt maybe, and maybe offer sheet talk. I mean, here on the we have like a quota, I feel like, for offer sheets here on the morning show every year. So I got a little bit of that when we come back. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio, stay tuned here on WGR.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, BSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Supply.
Blazers had their chances. Within 10 in the third, within 12 in the fourth, New York responding on runs each time. And the New York Knicks have looked elimination in the eye, and they are alive and kicking. And now the series to game six in Indy, with the Pacer lead cut 3-2.
Big win for the Knicks last night. They force a game six in Indiana. Yesterday, I asked Sal if you are rooting for the Knicks, and you said no. Would you say, though, the finals would be more interesting for you if they were in it? Or would you not?
Would it not be a difference?
It wouldn't be a difference.
Nope. Okay. I don't think so. I would also say that if Indiana closes this out, now this could go the other way, right? Now, if Indiana wins it, it is a big L for the NBA only wants big market teams in the finals crowd.
Right. Anyone that thought that the draft lottery was fixed because we're just trying to get all the stars to
I don't know about lottery is different than finals.
No, but I'm not. You know what I mean, though? Like, if everything...
Yeah.
It's I think everything is fixed, I do have
my questions about the lottery over the years, for sure. I mean, even LeBron kind of said it on the Pat McAfee show, like, well, you know, hey, I'm a kid from Akron, and I went to the Browns, to the Cavs. No, independent of the lottery, what I'm saying is, people say all the time, oh, the league would never want two small market teams in the finals. Like, well, if you get Indiana and Oklahoma City,
yeah.
You know, you could have something like that. That's not New York or Boston or Chicago or L.A., right? It just, now, if New York comes back and wins it, you're going to get people saying the league definitely could not have had Indiana in Oak City, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to, as a pretty big NBA fan, if it's Pacers Thunder, I bet it'll get poor ratings, and I think the basketball is going to be awesome. Other than when Shea Gilgeous Alexander throws himself on the ground because somebody touched his shoulder. Other than that part of it. But anyway,
I didn't watch a single second of the game last night. We had late baseball last night, but I checked in on the score, and by the time we were coming home, I'm like, it's not even worth kind of watching, because it just, from what I saw, you tell me, it just seemed like the Knicks kind of controlled the game the whole way.
They were up. Brunson went off early. Yeah. Like, okay. They got ahead, and they never relented.
All right.
But like, there was worth tracking, though, because they were up like 15-16 for a lot of that game. And if you've been watching this playoffs, 15 is not a safe lead in these NBA playoffs. I mean, the Knicks have had 3 20-point comebacks of their own. The Pacers have like 9-point comebacks in the final minute. But they got there. They never really got close. Saber question for you. So
yeah,
we're a month away from free agency, give or take. Sabres have a couple of RFAs. There's been, you know, as there is every year, there's a little offer sheet chatter, and the Sabres are written about as maybe a potential target because of just, you know, how they operate financially at times and the level of player that they have that are coming up as RFAs. J.J. Paterka is the number one trade bait listed player at Daily Faceoff for their trade board for the offseason. And what's written is from Frank Saravelli, who, by the way, like, if you remember on deadline night, if you were on Twitter
right
the night before the deadline, it wasn't even just Frank Saravelli. You had two very plugged-in insiders, not like Elliot Friedman, who's like the big one, but Frank Saravelli from Daily Faceoff and Renaud Lavoie from TVA in Canada. To big national insiders who work for different outlets, tweeted within 2 minutes of each other that Paterka to the Rangers was happening. And then that ended up not being true. And the Sabres said that it wasn't true, and you had a couple other people said that it wasn't true. But both of those guys got that from somewhere. And the smoke has kind of continued about, like, okay, does he want to sign a long-term deal? Whatever. And Frank wrote on that trade bait article about him that Paterka is a candidate to be offer sheeted this year by other teams. So let's say that happens. Sal, if J.J. Paterka got offer sheeted, let's say 4 years, $10 million per year. That would be 2 firsts, a second, and a third in compensation if you let him walk. What would you do?
Sign him.
You'd match it. Because you don't want draft picks and you're okay with the money?
I don't care about the draft picks right now. And even if I think it's a slight overpay, I don't care right now. I have the money and I'm tired of this is a good player. You've developed him. His game is starting to come around as a more well-rounded game over the last year or so. I think that he's worked well with Lindy. I could see him getting even better. I don't need the draft picks anymore. This is why I want to trade the pick they have currently anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I doing with more draft picks?
Right.
This the draft pick part of it, I don't need. I don't care. And then you really just comes down to what the money is. Is it are you talking $15 million a year? No.
No.
If it's $10 million a year, yes, I get it. Like, you're still paying. It's a high price. The cap is going way up in the NHL over the next couple of years. By the time you get 2-3 years down the road, I think that could be what you're looking at anyway for J.J. Paterka. So,
and whatever. I do think it's like, it's probably an overpay of about, you know, if you're trying to really evaluate what he's worth, it's probably $2 to $2.5 million per year more than you would think he should get. Like, 7.5 to 8, I think, feels right for him with the cap going up. And the cap going up to about $95 million, which is a pretty significant jump. So yeah. $10 million this coming year is almost, you know, it's the new $9 million, maybe. I am with you. So I was talking with Owen in the break about this. We disagree because I'm with you, Sal. It's an overpay, but I am just not interested in the compensation. Like, two,
nope.
D- depending on who the team would be, I would imagine a team doing that is probably pretty competitive. Two potentially late first-round picks. The second and the third don't even mean anything to me. Like, those picks are so... I know Paterka was a second, but the hit rate on those picks is so low that I almost don't even care about them. I wouldn't trade Paterka for two first-round picks right now. Like, I wouldn't do it. Now, Owen, you kind of feel like, though, the money is a little bit of your sticking point?
Yeah, I think that that's it's a steep contract for Paterka. To me, like
it is,
he's a good player. I'm very high on him. I have been since they drafted him. I think he's awesome. I think he could be on a Tage Thompson level of explosiveness in terms of offensive output. I just $10 million, even with the cap going up, like we talked about in the break, like you got room, you can do it. But if we're talking about $2.5 million more than you probably should be paying him. What are you giving up on the roster? Like, $2.5 million is a lot of money in the NFL.
Are you giving up anything on this roster, considering that you're very low to the salary cap, you know, where you are right now?
Well, I think your question is, what's your individual sort of stance on that in terms of the team? Like, are you willing to pay Paterka $2.5 million more and not make
and not
that
use
concession somewhere else?
Well, and that's where you get into, like, what would you do versus what are you predicting the Sabres would do? Because I don't know what their cap will look like this year. I think it is absolutely right to believe that they are not going to be a team that spends to the cap because of some of their actions in the last 5 years. You absolutely could believe that. It is worth pointing out, though, and I don't think this will happen because I don't think Bo Byram is signing an extension with this team.
No,
I don't think they want to sign an extension with him long term. So I don't think Byram is getting signed. But if you include Byram and Paterka and McLeod and even Levi for a little bit and Quinn, that's not going to be much either. But if they just sign all their RFA sell, they actually will be right up against the cap. But again, that's including Byram. And I don't think they're about to give Bo. I don't think there's a scenario where he's getting $6.5 to $8 million. So that there's your room right there. Your $6, $7, $8 million
but
of
then,
room that you could do with stuff.
There goes
stuff with.
Yeah. If you sign Paterka to that kind of deal,
well, now it's five.
Now right, and then what are you doing? Are you going to spend that five? I hope so.
And that's where I think it's right to be skeptical of that.
Right. And
all right. So I have 3 points on this very quickly. Number one.
Okay.
I will even admit and say that, like, this is a departure of how I believe, and I will tell you that teams normally operate, which is, look, if you have a value on J.J. Paterka of 7.5, well, you can't go to 10, right? Like, that's how teams, this is the James Cook discussion. And people say, what's the difference? He wants 15, just give him, you know, give him 15 if you think he's worth 12. Well, there is a big difference. That's the value you have on him. That's a lot of money. So even the way I talk, like, I'm saying, I don't care if they overpay him. Whereas I generally would say, like, you should care about that. But I do think you have to project out at his age. There's a difference between a guy like James Cook, his age, his position in that sport, versus J.J. Paterka and where he could go. And what you're looking at, that contract might be 2 years from now, right? And saying, okay, I think that's worth it 2 years from now. Number two, tell me what team is giving him that offer, Joe. Because I just throw out a team you think it could be. Could it be the Rangers?
Rangers are the first team that comes to mind because that was the team mentioned with him. And they are – Drury, I think, is going to be acting in desperation this offseason.
Like
his job is on the line. But go ahead.
All right, well, I mean, if you say the Rangers – now, I'm not saying everything the Rangers does is, like, obviously right or correct or you should operate because they feel that way.
Sure.
But obviously there'd be a team out there willing to give J.J. Paterka that kind of contract. Somebody values him like that. And, like, to me, that should speak something to you about that in that scenario.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's where offer sheets are a different animal, and it's maybe part of the reason you see so few of them. Although we have seen a couple more. Like, there were two last year. Mm-hmm. Remember the Blues went after...
Same team, yeah.
Same team. Against
same
went after
team,
the Oilers.
Both Oilers. And then finally, I would say, honestly, like, if money aside, compensation aside, if you just told me, hey, list, like, the top guys on the Sabres that you'd be unwilling to trade. And I'm not saying you wouldn't trade them for anything. I'm just saying the most unwilling to trade.
Mm-hmm.
I'd put Rasmus Dahlin, Tage Thompson, J.J. Paterka, maybe in that order.
And he would be third. I would probably agree with that. He is not, to me, though, the same as Thompson and Dahlin. Like, Thompson,
no.
I think there is a line there where... And part of that is because, though, it's different, and I know you know this, that... Tage and Dahlin are under contract. You know, like, there's nothing really to figure out there. It's just, do you want them on your team or not? And with those two, it's an obvious yes. Paterka, I think it's also a yes. Like, you want him on your team. He's a great player, especially 5-on-5. Yeah. Some of his 5-on-5 numbers the last 2 years are some of the best in hockey offensively.
Yeah, he's a monster 5-on-5.
But you have this question about, you know, will he sign a long-term deal with you? And that's where we can't know that because we're not in those meetings. We're not talking to the agent on a day-to-day basis. Is the smoke about him and the Sabres where, like, okay, maybe he'd sign a 2-year deal, but are you getting him on a 7-year deal? If you told me today he would sign a 7-year deal with me, I'm not talking to any other team. I'm just signing him.
Yes, 100%. And that's, I think, where a little bit of my hesitation comes with this, just real quickly, is if I'm paying him $10 million, I want that for as long as I can get it.
Right.
Because like Sal, you said, you're thinking about potential, but this is we're talking about a 4-year offer sheet here where he could be just sort of hitting that stride on that 4th year, and then you're losing him.
Yeah. See, but that I'm okay with because 4 years is long enough for me. I know the point you're making.
You'd figure it out by then, right?
Yeah,
right.
You'd figure it out by then. The other part of my point that I was going to mention is, like, I don't know that I can get him on that 7-year deal. If right now, it doesn't even have to mean he's telling you, oh, I want to be traded. It's just, yeah, I'm thinking more of like a bridge deal. If there's any hesitation towards this guy wanting to be around long term, or maybe he wants to play it out and see, listen, this team has not earned the right, I think, for anybody to be safe. That's where I would want to, what I want to say next. I think Tage and Dahlin would be because they're that good. And they're under contract. Anybody else that I've got any questions about, I would listen to anything. And that would include Paterka. I'd have to be blown away, probably, but, you know, there's a chance you could be blown away. He's a 23-year-old player that scores at the level if he does. Like, there would be a ton of teams that would be, I think, very aggressive towards wanting him.
I mean, that should tell you something, right?
Yes.
There's a ton of teams aggressive towards wanting him, and those teams are probably going to be some of the better teams in the league, or teams that at least have talent better than the Sabres that are competing. That should tell you something.
Which is why I'm a no on the offer sheet compensation, because I don't want draft picks. If it would have to be a hockey trade, and they've made two of those, because I'm not listening unless you're giving me something that I think is also really
correct,
good, but maybe is going to be just a different type of fit. Like, if you told me I could get a player near Paterka's value and skill, but he's a bigger player. Maybe he's not quite as good offensively, but he's still good offensively. He's a little better defensively. Paterka's lacking that. That's the only thing I would listen to with him, even if I knew he's not signing a long-term deal this summer. So, complicated player and situation right now, depending on what his motivations are. 803-0550 is the phone number. Extendo Sports, when we come back, then we'll get you off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Extendo Sports. Sal, do you watch the TV show The Last of Us?
I do not. Is this a zombie show, I believe?
It is, but I would say it's the best one that's ever been made because it's
not
standalone.
Interested in zombie shows.
I think the storylines go well beyond and are great beyond it. But I also completely understand not wanting to get into it in the first place. Huge, I'm not going to spoil anything here. Huge cliffhanger.
Ooh.
At the end of season 2. It's a super popular show, big cliffhanger.
Okay.
Season 3 does not come out until 2027.
Oh, man.
I've got to wait 2 years to see what happens in this damn show.
That's just disrespectful.
I want to say because of that, it might be one of the worst cliffhangers I've ever seen. Not worse, but it's one of the biggest cliffhangers I've ever seen. What's the biggest cliffhanger moment for you where you went, no way? You can't leave it there. Movie, TV show.
I think Breaking Bad had one. We were Breaking Bad. We watched that a lot. Oh, I mean, 24 had a couple real good ones.
Okay. What was the Breaking Bad cliffhanger? It would have been at the end of season...
I don't remember. I thought there was one.
You know what? At the end of season 4, there's like 3 episodes in a row. Not at the end of a season, but the end of an episode where there were big cliffhangers. We had to wait a week then.
I mean, basically, just the end of The Sopranos was a cliffhanger in itself that you're still wondering about, to be honest with you.
Okay, right. That should have been the first thing I said. Because that one, right. Like, what would it look at me complaining about having to wait 2 years? Sopranos, we've been waiting 25 years, and we're never going to get an answer. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Joe, you wore your Rich Stadium shirt today. I love it. I wore my Yankees Bronx Bombers shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stand up so the people people in the bullpen can see it. Yankees Dodgers tonight for a weekend series they begin.
Nice. Is Aaron Judge capable of hitting 400?
It's going to be tough from here on out. He's like at 390 something now.
391. 391.
Yeah, that's really hard. Obviously,
isn't
capable?
This...
I mean, he has to go get really hot again, but
yeah,
I mean, he's going to be high 390s all year, I think.
But yeah, give me Ohtani versus Judge. That's baseball right now for you.
Paul Goldschmidt is now like unbelievable hitting again.
Well, so, is Judge very quickly in this? I thought of him a couple years ago as like one of the. A lot of guys were this in the sport. Swing and miss, go for all the home runs, a lot of strikeouts. Is he totally different now because he's hitting 391?
Totally. So they now have an analytics. You'll appreciate this as an analytics guy. They have what they call a chase rate in baseball now. How many times you chase a ball out of the strike zone and a ball you shouldn't swing at.
Uh-huh.
And he has a very low chase rate. He does not chase balls.
Okay. Gotcha. And it's 6'7". It's harder for him.
I mean, that's right. You think about that. That's how impressive he is at what he's doing.
All right.
Joe, I got an email here, so we can wrap up maybe something fun real quick.
Okay.
Saying this is the New York State's favorite gaming consoles based on a research from Vegas Insider and what was like the most searched gaming consoles for people to buy.
Okay.
All right.
I'm a PlayStation guy.
PlayStation 5 is number one.
I'm a PlayStation guy since 1998. So it's good to hear.
PlayStation 5, followed by Nintendo Switch,
ooh,
Xbox Series X, and then Steam Deck, which my son knows about, which I had no idea about. He has a PC. He tells me about it. Then PlayStation 4, then PSP, Nintendo Wii, Xbox 360, Nintendo DS, and then PlayStation 2 and 3, Nintendo 3DS, GameCube, Wii U, Sega Mega Drive, Game Boy Advance, and PlayStation VR is number 17.
We're still making PSPs out there?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
Maybe people just want to buy
older.
Them.
Some of those were older, though, that yeah. You mentioned. I would have told you, if you had had me guess what the current Xbox is called, I wouldn't even be able to tell you. What is it, Xbox X Series?
Xbox X Series, yeah.
Interesting. I'm a PlayStation guy through and through. NCAA, big game for Cal this weekend. Big game for Cal in the online dynasty. Down at Bar Sneaky.
Is Ron Rivera my basement. Your GM?
That's interesting. No, Marshawn Lynch is my GM. Gotta go, alumni. And I don't want Aaron Rodgers to
be
the program.
You got to go beat Andrew Luck. He's the GM at Stanford. You got to go beat him.
Yeah. Number two in the country. Big game against Wake Forest this week. Big ACC classic. Wake Forest and Cal coming this week. All right. That'll do for us. Thanks, everybody, for listening throughout the week. Jeremy back next week. Have a nice weekend. Hopefully the weather holds up for you. And stay tuned. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is on the way next here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.